So let's review. The Mishnah Daf Kof Mem ruled, Ha'omer im teled ishti zachar yitl mana, yalda zachar yitl mana. If someone declared, if my wife delivers a son, he shall take a mana. If she indeed gave birth to a son, he receives a mana. Similarly, nekeva masayim, yalda nekeva netelis masayim. If he said, if my wife gives birth to a daughter, she shall take two mana, and she indeed gave birth to a daughter, the girl receives two mana. The Gemara points out that bas adifa le miben. The Mishnah implies that daughters are preferable to sons. Yet Rabbi Yechanan said, if someone does not leave behind a son, thus leaving his property to his daughters, it is a sign that Hashem is displeased with him. This indicates that sons are preferable to daughters. The Gemara offers several answers. It depends. Le'inyan Yerusha ben Odeflei, le'in Havacha bas Odeflei. Regarding an inheritance, a son is preferable, because Yikra Shem HaMes al Nachlasa, the estate stays in the father's family, while Habas Misavis Nachla Mimata Lamata Achar. A daughter is eventually inherited by her husband and children, thus transferring the estate to another family. However, in Harvacha Bas Odefle, regarding their needs, it is more common to provide daughters with sufficient provisions because Eini Chayla Lachazar Achim is a Nesea Kizachar. She does not have the same ability to support herself like a son. The Mishnah is discussing when his wife is giving birth to their firstborn, and bas tchila siman yafa labanim. Having a daughter first is a good sign for sons, either because the merabi lacha, she later helps to raise the younger children, or because the leshalta ba'ein abisha, this way he avoids the effects of an evil eye. Rabbi Hudahi, the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Huda. At first, the Gemara understands that bas adifale, Rabbi Huda considers daughters to be preferable as evidenced in the following braisa. The pasuk says, "Vashem berech as Avram bakol." Hashem blessed Avram Avinu with bakol, everything. Remeir emir shaloi hoyu labas. This means he did not have daughters, only sons. Rabbi Yehuda emir shaloi saloi bas u bakol shema. This means he did have a daughter, and her name was bakol. However, the Gemara points out that Rabbi Yehuda only said brata nami lechaser rachman al Avram. Avram had everything, even daughters. However, da adifa miben mishamatle, he did not say that daughters are preferable to sons. David the Gemara explains, Chafetz b'harvacha debas. Rabbi Yehuda says that people are more concerned with providing for their daughters than their sons, as evidenced in the following braisa. A Mishnah rules, Eimechai v'naisi lazin banav v'naisav. One is not obligated to support his children. Nevertheless, a braisa states, Mitzvah lazin esabonis v'kavochem l'banam da'aski b'tarah divrei meir. It is commendable to support even one's daughters because the Torah says, "Umabsar chalat tisalim." Do not forsake your relatives. And certainly one should support his sons who study Torah. It is commendable to support one's sons, and certainly one's daughters, so that they should not suffer the indignity involved in procuring their provisions. The Gemara cites several brises regarding the birth of twins. Amar zachar tchila masayim nekeva achra b'loy klum. If he said, if a boy is born first, and then a girl, give the boy 200 zuz, which is 2 mana, and nothing to the girl. And if nekeva tchila mana, and if a girl is born first and then a boy, give them each one mana. And then she gave birth to a boy and a girl, but we don't know which was born first. A braisa rules, the boy receives 6 gold dinar, which is 1.5 mana, and the girl receives 2 gold dinar, which is 1/2 a mana. And the Gemara explains, Zachar shakal mana mimanavshach. The boy is entitled to 1 mana regardless of when he was born. Idach mana hava maman hamut basafik v'chalgan. The other mana goes to either the boy or the girl, depending on the order of the birth. Therefore, they divide the disputed sum. Thus, the boy receives 1.5 mana, and the girl receives 1/2 a mana. Another braisa. If when expecting the birth of his first child, someone said, Hamavastreni, b'man nifter rachmash al ishti, im zachar mana in the cave of mana. Whoever will tell me whether my wife gave birth to a boy or a girl will receive a mana. Yalda zachar noit l'mana, yalda nekeva noit l'mana. If the wife gives birth to a boy or a girl, the messenger receives a mana. However, yalda zachar b'nekeva ein l'klum. If she gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl, he receives nothing, because he did not refer to a case of twins. However, amr nami im zachar b'nekeva nami yit l'mana ein lo el mana. If he also said if she gives birth to a boy and a girl, he should receive a mana, the messenger receives only 1 mana. The Gemara explains, Lama'utei Nefil, he only meant to exclude the messenger from compensation if she gave birth to a stillborn child, because Stam Zachar Unekeva, Hainu Bakaryama, he referred specifically to a viable male or female child. The Gemara returns to the Mishnah's ruling. Ha'emer im teled ishti zachar yitl mano, yod de zachar yitl mano. If someone declared, if my wife delivers a son, give him a mana. If she indeed gives birth to a son, he receives a mana. This indicates, hamazakal uberkana. One can transfer property to a fetus. This contradicts Rav Huna's ruling, hamazakal uber loikana. One cannot transfer property to a fetus. In response, Rav Huna said, Mishnah seinu, ein yedea mishana. I do not know the author of this Mishnah. Rav Huna meant to say, I am not aware of any supporting opinion, and so I do not accept its ruling. The Gemara suggests several options for the Mishnah's authorship. Remeyuhi, the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Remeyu who holds, Adumakna davish label oilam. One can perform a transaction with an object that does not yet exist. As Remeyu ruled, Ha'im le'isha haret mukadeshes lila achashetis gairi mukadeshes. One can betroth a woman to become effective upon her conversion, even though she's currently not fit for kedushin. However, the Gemara points out, Eimer deshamet le'lidavish sheyeshna ba'oilam. Le'davish sheyna ba'oilam mishamet le'. The Rashbam here explains this distinction as follows. Ha'isha harehi ba'olam, elish adayin lo niskayro, v'lo higi ezman liknas, aval uber ein ba'olam. Remeir was only referring to a person who exists, such as the woman who is alive but not yet fit for kedushin. However, perhaps one cannot transfer to someone that does not yet exist, such as the fetus who is not yet alive. Rashi and Rashbam elsewhere explain this distinction differently. Remeir indeed holds adam makna davish lo ba'olam. That means that the object being transacted does not need to exist, but it needs to be ledavar sheyeshna ba'olam. The parties to the transaction need to exist. Therefore, in the case of kedushin, the man and woman certainly exist. It is her fitness for kedushin that does not exist. This is the equivalent of the object. However, in our case, the fetus is one of the parties. The fetus is acquiring the money or property. Perhaps, even according to Remeir, this does not work. Nevi the Gemara suggests, Rabbi Yisihi, the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yisihi who holds uberkani. A fetus can acquire possessions. As Rabbi Yisi rules, Bas Yisrael shenisis l'kayin umeis v'nichem uberes, uber paisel v'ena machel. If a Yisraelis married a kayin and he died while she was pregnant, his slaves now belong to his unborn child. And since a fetus does not have the status of a kayin before he is born, the slaves may not eat truma. Clearly, Rabbi Yisi holds uber kani. A fetus can acquire possessions. However, the Gemara differentiates, Sha'an Yerusha haba me'leha. Perhaps he can acquire an inheritance, since it is acquired automatically, but he cannot actively participate in acquiring anything. This discussion continues into the next daf.